Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly Radio Show. Thank you for being with us today. Time for garden questions and answers. You got a question? We got an answer. Send it on over to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. GardenTalkRadio@gmail.com, or you can give us a call toll-free coast-to-coast at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. This question is sponsored by Fleet Farm and FleetFarm.com.
So it's a compost question that they had after listening to us on the Roar of the Rockies, KHNC 1360 AM in Colorado.
Yep.
How about the grain byproducts from brew pubs for the compost? Too much alcohol left behind for the compost? So basically, they want to take brewery grains and use them in the compost, and that's perfectly fine. Some people do feed them to livestock.
Correct. It's called corn gluten from like the big breweries.
Yeah.
They will take all the goody out of the corn, crush it down into pellet form, and then it's a supplement that you mix in with your corn and your other minerals and supplements for your cattle feed. We only use it for cattle feed. I don't know if you could use it for pork or hogs or sheep or whatever, but we used it for cattle. But continue.
Right. So
I mean, it was dry. It was a dust form. They mixed it with molasses in order to bind it together.
Well, this is probably not that exactly.
Correct. Right.
But it's from the brew pubs. And yeah, you can add to your compost. It is considered a nitrogen. So it's high in green matter, similar like grass clippings, leaf matter, straw, things like that. But you can add it to your compost.
And mix it in. Don't overdo it. I mean, obviously, in proportional measures, but you can certainly do that. And I'm sure that if you are interested in finding the brew pub products for composting, there's a lot of breweries. Just ask, and they will want probably to get rid of the stuff because they can only use so much of it.
It's one of those free resources like coffee grounds. That you can get from coffee shops, and I'm sure there's other free resources as well. But yeah.
Okay, next question here is, how is the best way to leave the garden over winter? Well, there's a couple of different answers to this. One, you can walk away from it. Or two, some people will cleanse the garden and top the raised beds off with compost and see you next spring. We would lean towards the first, is leave the garden as is. Now, if you're like us, and some of you aren't, and some of you are, when I say like us, we've weeded and weeded and weeded, and it looks like a pasture in our raised beds. At this point of the year, things have already seeded, and you're not going to prevent any more seed from falling. It's already established. Leave it there for the insects. Leave it there for the birds. Just let it be. If you feel the need to remove the weeds because they may be easy to pull now because they're tall, you can certainly do that, and you can cover the soil with your leaves that are coming down from the trees. Or if you have to get additional leaves from the street, if you're in a municipality that puts leaves on the street, you can go out and get them. We've done it before. And cover the soil. The key is to cover the soil. Anything in nature that we have seen in the world covers the soil. If there's a bare area, weeds will grow. The only place this is not the rule is in a desert. But in the forest floor, in pastures, in fields that lay fallow, weeds begin to come up in order to cover the soil, to protect the soil. You've looked at the difference between a area that has been covered all winter versus an area that has been exposed. There is a tremendous difference. The area that has been exposed is very dead looking, very plain, very weathered. If you look at the area that has been covered, you remove the leaves or lift up the grass clippings or the mulch or the straw. There is activity very rapid underneath there. There's worms and there's bugs and there's insects. It has created a habitat for these things as well as protecting the soil. So that is the answer for leave it in, or leave it alone, or cleanse it. We don't till. Some people choose to cover their garden with leaves and then till them under. That is not something that we would advise to. You're not a bad person if you do such, but we see the advantage to just letting things set and then planting with very minimal soil disturbance, if at possible.
Absolutely. So the next question is I want to overwinter mums inside, but they only have buds now. Should I put them in the dark, cool place now or wait until they bloom inside and then store them?
Well, you'd want to let them bloom outside, first of all.
Yeah,
you don't want to take and hide them.
No, that's the point of having mums.
Right, to have them.
Yeah.
So you can do this. Let's say you're in hardiness zone 5. Mums are generally hardy down to 4 and 5. So many of our listeners can do such. And bring them in if the temperatures are going to be below 32 degrees Fahrenheit. If you want them to bloom inside, put them near a sunny window and keep them watered. After they bloom, remove the flowers, but leave 2 or 3 inches of the stem to produce a crown to overwinter inside, and they can store them. You can store them in a cool, frost-free location till spring. Water about once a month. Now, here's the thing. Enough to keep them alive, but too much water will cause them to rot. That's the problem that a lot of people get in. Once a month is all you need. It may take a little time, a little later in the garden to plant them, but in the spring you can plant them in a well-drained area in full sun, and you can have mums alive, and you don't have to buy them next year. There you go. Okay. I have a 10 by 10 garden with good-looking soil. Want to grow tomatoes in it. And there's no real place to rotate crops. Many people suggest you should rotate your crops. What can I do to the soil, fertilize it or something else this fall or next spring in order to get the rotation or make it so it's less chance since I can't rotate? You can put nitrogen fixing a cover crop on it this fall if it's not too late. It may be too late where you're at. That would help replenish the lost nutrients. Not rotating the crops can increase the likelihood of repeat diseases and pests. So if you're in a 10...
You could rotate the crops.
Well, 10 by 10 is very small. But yes, you could take from upper right and move it to lower left.
Unless there's like a lighting situation.
Yes.
Type of thing. But if you could even just move them over...
Three foot.
A couple rows. Yeah. Yeah. That would be ideal too. It's not... Crop rotation can be done on a small scale. Somebody who grew up with a very urban garden, mm-hmm. We didn't always plant the tomatoes in the same row every year. We would move them over. So you can kind of shift things around as you need to.
But whatever problems you had this year, whether that be fill in the blank, you got to be aware of it next year and be on top of it. Be proactive instead of reactive with the problems that you may be persistent in the soil that were this year because you can't move it, 30 feet that way or 25 feet the other way. So it can be done. You can rotate on a very small level. I would add a couple inches of compost to start with right now. Let that work. Don't work it in. Just put 2 or 3 inches of compost on top of your 10 by 10 bed. Let it set until spring. Then plant in different areas of that bed. From what you had this year.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.